Let's remember together some of the greatest TV and movie stars of yesteryear with the woman who knew them. Mary Jane Popp hosted radio and TV shows for nearly 5 decades, meeting these stars and getting them to share their real-life stories. You'll meet them up close and personal as Mary Jane searches her extensive archives for the best and brightest real star talk on Pop Star Talk. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
It's that fun time once again on Pop Star Talk. Hi, Mary Jane Popp here, along with my producer, Kenneth Segura Knoll, bringing you some of the greats from the past. Now, some have left us, and some, I am happy to say, are still going strong. And we've got one of those strong beauties of our time, and I know Ken will agree with me. So, Ken, what did you think about probably the best known models ever, Cheryl Teagues?
Oh, she was beautiful, but
still,
you know,
is.
She still is. I was too poor; I couldn't afford a poster. But I had a friend in high school who had one in his bedroom, so we would go down to his house and check out Cheryl Teagues. But was a beautiful woman.
And she donned, you know, the Sports Illustrated magazine for I don't know how many times, you know, the cover. She was always beautiful. But, you know, in the interview, you'll hear what I'm talking about. She just has such a great heart. She's such a sweetheart. She's 78 now. She was born in 1947. Yeah, 1947. And I kind of checked out some pictures of her lately. She looks great. I mean, you would never guess she's 78 years old. She just isn't. And she's still into animals. And again, so many of the stars are into animals. She's into Earth Conservation Corps, environmental protection. And it's amazing how these stars all dedicate themselves to other causes and to the care of animals. And I don't know, I think that's special, don't you, Ken?
Yes. I mean, and, you know, she's taken, you know, fame very modestly and, you know, with some being humble as to her beginnings and how she started. And, you know, so she's a good role model.
Absolutely.
I think she's a good role model.
And of course, she is a real beauty, but wait till you hear all that makes up this great lady with a sincere heart. And boy, that is a small statement of what this woman is. She's more than beautiful, but she's got other things to talk about. You know, you're in your home, safe, right? Well, maybe. What about the air you breathe? First class or failing? We might have some tips for you from former supermodel and still smashing Cheryl Teagues, who's taken on the mantle of wellness advocate. And by the way, you'll soon see this lovely lady on the tube again in a new reality show on ABC coming in January. We'll talk about that too. Cover girl to the max, from Vogue to Bazaar and everything in between. Cheryl Teagues, welcome to Pop Off.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you for all the wonderful things that you said. And I hope that your, viewership or
listeners? Yeah.
Listeners, yes. I hope they remember we did an interview a while ago, but it feels like we're old friends.
Absolutely old friends. And I'll tell you why. Because you've remade yourself so many times. It's unbelievable. But you do it. Is it just because that comes from something inside of you?
You know, I kind of always look the same. I mean, my hair hasn't changed since I was a teenager, I don't think. But you know what? I started off my career with the Ingenue magazine, 17, Glamour, whatever. And then I took about 3 or 4 years off. And then when I came back, I had developed into a woman. So then I did Harper's Bazaar and Vogue and all that. And then I went into the designing and had the line of clothes for Sears, and then I had my baby, and that sent me in a direction of taking care of my family and being with them. So now, you know, I have more time to do all the projects that I've been thinking about doing.
Well, you have, if I would ask you, you know, what are the tools that you have used so that you could be successful in life? Are there tools that you live by, or you always kind of look at those first before you move into some new project?
Well, first of all, I think you have to take care of yourself, and that means not only eating right and exercising. I meditate every day. That's one of the tools that I use to really keep myself. There was a time in my life I thought, you know, I'm going to be calm no matter what. And that became my mantra. No matter how many hurricanes there were in my life, whatever, I wanted to be calm and centered and focused. And I think I finally reached that point where I feel this calmness inside for the most part. You know, life is not perfect, so I'm, and nor am I. So every once in a while, you know, I waver, but I do that.
But you know what? The competition in the field that you started out and still are in, has to be incredible. And yet, you never wavered.
You know what? I always wanted to be in competition. In a sense, with myself, when I looked in the mirror and I wasn't looking so good or feeling so good, I would do something about it. Never really felt competition with another person because that's a lose-lose situation. And now I'm doing this reality show, and we're judging outer beauty and inner beauty. And there had to be eliminations. Once a week, we eliminated someone. And I invariably would say to them, please don't take this as a rejection, because I've been facing, in a sense, rejection ever since I started in this business. But I don't really look upon it as rejection. It's just I did the best I could. There was someone else who was more suited for the job. Fine. I just moved. If I always did the best that I could, that's all I asked of myself.
That, you know, that's a wonderful philosophy, because too many people keep saying, well, I got to reach for that other thing, and they don't even know what that other thing is.
Right, and that's intangible. I mean, that's nothing that you can grab onto or whatever. One of the girls, well, I'm not going to go into the show, but anyway, we had a competition where it was a physical sportsman kind of thing, and she said, well, that wasn't my cup of tea, so I kind of sat on the sidelines, and I said, not your cup of tea. You're not competing with the fellow, the stud, that, you know, who can do, you know, 100 push-ups, you know, easily. I said, that's just, think about bettering yourself. Focus on yourself first. And there's nothing the matter with focusing on yourself, by the way. It's not a selfish thing to do.
Do we fear failure? I mean, this country, it's like, oh my God, I can't fail. If you don't fail, you don't learn.
I don't really look at the things in my life as failures anyway. I've been through several marriages, and to be honest with you, totally honest with you, I am so happy with each one of those relationships.
Really?
And I'm so grateful, and still maintain friendships with them. And so therefore, it's not a failure. It's all in how you look at it. Of course, I've tried some projects. I've tried some marriages that haven't worked, but I don't think they're failures. I just think they're attempts at trying something.
Well, not only that, but I bet any money, I put my money right where my mouth is, you learn from every one of those experiences.
Oh, absolutely. And learn, grow, become a different person, hopefully becoming a better person. What doesn't kill you makes you better. You know, it's just, no, I mean, I wouldn't be who I am today, and I like who I am today. I wouldn't be that person if I hadn't gone through all of those experiences. So
excellent.
People are sometimes afraid to step out and do something new, to think outside the box. And I think the older we get, the more we box ourselves in, because we know what makes us happy. But I think always having a project in mind, whether it's helping people in need or starting something new in your own life, it's all, you know, it's always scary, but it's always exhilarating.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, women especially, we're the caregivers, and we always have been, probably always will be. Yeah. But we look in the mirror, and the first thing that we do, and I'm just as guilty of it as anybody. I see another line there. Oh, my God, you know, my complexion is not as good as it was before. We got to stop doing this to ourselves, don't we? You want to look the best you can be, but I'm not going to be 20 again. I don't care how much I try.
No, and I remember the first time I saw a wrinkle thinking, and that was a while ago, and I thought, oh, my goodness, that came as a surprise.
Yeah.
And then you get over it.
Yeah.
I have a line of skincare, so I think that you both get over it, but you also do something about it.
Sure.
You know, you do the best that you can. Obviously, as we grow older, we're going to get wrinkles, and there are things, you know, that are going to happen with our bodies, but you do something about it. And that includes, you know, eating right and exercising, and using a skincare cream that can minimize the wrinkles.
Absolutely. And so they can look like, I happen to be 62, but I'm going to be the best 62 I possibly can be.
Right, exactly. And there's nothing the matter with being 62. It's only a number.
There you go.
I worked with Deepak Chopra quite a bit, and he said chronological age is one thing. That's a number. Okay, you set that aside, and you can do something about your psychological age. You know, you can look and feel and be younger mm-hmm. than your age.
Right. Do you have a philosophy of life at all? A philosophy that shows what Cheryl Teagues is all about.
I think it's really positive thinking. Mm. I've said, oh gosh, I'm giving you my mantra again today, these days, is life is good. And if something goes awry, I drop a plate and it breaks or whatever, I say, oops, you know, but life is so good. And if you just keep saying life is good, or today's my lucky day. I say that all the time if something good happens. I think, oh, well, then today's my lucky day. So it's really just positive thinking. That's not an easy thing to do.
That's true.
It takes a lot of work.
Yeah. It takes a lot of inner fortitude not to let all the negative. I always say we get enough negatives in one day to last us a lifetime. Don't let it intrude on your life.
Right, right. You know, and even the news sometimes, if I'm having a little bit of a down day, I don't watch the news because that's even more down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're so right.
Although I do keep on top of it for sure.
Now, I know you're much into this, the being a wellness advocate. And when we look at our home, I mean, things like granite countertops, people think, oh, I've achieved something. I can afford a granite countertop or carpeting or cleaning supplies. And you say, beware.
Well, it's interesting because people, you know, we're all concerned about the pollution in the environment outside, as well we should be. I happen to be driving a fuel cell car, which filled with hydrogen mixes with air, oxygen, and creates water. I mean, this is the wave of the future, so we should be thinking about the outdoor air. But people don't really focus on what they're living in. On a day-to-day basis in your own home. I have had in the past granite countertops, and I'm now working with a company called Cambria, and they have all quartz countertops that don't emit radon. Now, people don't understand that. I had granite countertops. I had someone come in, an inspector, and I realized that this granite was emitting radon into the atmosphere in my home.
That's extremely dangerous, right?
That's very dangerous, and it's accumulative. So I had all of that taken up. It's very important to realize that, and people don't know that. And inspector, you can get some companies to come out to your home for free and check for this radon.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because that comes from several sources, correct? Radon?
Yes, it is. It's anything. Radon comes from, obviously, the earth, mm-hmm. and then we bring what's in the earth into our home, and certain of those stones emit this radon. I also had Italian tiles in my kitchen, which had to be scrubbed with harsh chemicals and then sealed with harsh chemicals. And I thought that doesn't make any sense because uh-huh. then I'm eating and cooking off, you know, the countertop. So then I had Cambria put in, and you wash it down with water And, you know, I just, and when I started working with Cambridge, I really became aware of my environment in my house, which I wanted to make as green as possible. Yeah. You don't have to tear your house down in order to make it a green environment.
Well, you said in some of the materials I read that simple house plants can clean up the air.
Yes, exactly. I have my house filled with plants now. Actually, we did the study with NASA, or we learned about their studies from NASA. So this is such a reliable source. And they said that they were very specific also about the types of houseplants. And one of them is philodendron, which is a very common houseplant, really helps with the air and to remove toxins from the air.
Really?
Spider plants.
Oh, really? I've got that. Good.
Yeah, and Boston ivies and trichina. So these are very common and very easy to find, and they do help with the pollutants in your house.
You also say to stay away from air fresheners? Really?
Well, you know, those air fresheners, but also paraffin candles that emit a very strong, heavy-duty fragrance. Uh-huh. It's not really good. It's I would go toward the soy candles or anything that is natural or organic. Otherwise, you're just polluting the air even more. For example, even your dry cleaning, you know that smell that you get when when you bring the clothes home and it smells like chemicals. Mm-hmm. So I put them in a room, take the plastic off, put them in a room to air out for a few days before I put them into my closet so that the chemicals don't then get on the rest of my clothes. So
that's a good idea.
You know, the first thing I did when I started to green up my house was to change the light bulbs. Now, this is something that everybody can do, and I got kind of excited about it. I thought, well, you know what? I'm getting energy-efficient light bulbs. Everybody needs new light bulbs. So then you do that, and then there are other steps that you can take. So
it's one thing at a time, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But that's how I started. And now I recycle everything. I started recycling 20 years ago when you had to tie up the newspapers and take them down to a recycling plant. But now they make it easier for you. So
sure.
They'll pick that up and they'll pick up bottles and cans and everything. So there's really no excuse. If I'm on an airplane, I just don't stuff the New York Times into the seat in front of me when I'm finished with it. I literally hand carry it home so that I can then recycle it. So if I'm in the grocery store and I've forgotten the bag, which is in the trunk, mm-hmm. you know, the canvas bag, I'll take off my sweatshirt or take off my coat and I'll put all the items in that coat and just, you know, tie the sleeves up and carry it out that way.
Wow, you are dedicated. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I really am. I really am. And there are so many things that we all can do. So
absolutely.
And Cambria has been, they have provided a platform for me to go out and talk about these things. And if the listeners just take away one thing, mm-hmm. it's a start.
Yeah. Oh, you better. And again, don't feel, because otherwise you feel like, oh, it's too overwhelming. I can't go there, you know, and do all of it. If you do one a week or one a month, you know, you're going to get there.
Yeah. Do you do that? Do you do any of these things?
Yeah. The light bulbs, the recycling, the air fresheners. I don't do the dry cleaning anymore. I'm real careful about that. If it has that smell, I do the same thing. I air them out.
Yes. And up north or in the cold parts of the country, they have these mud rooms. So just put it in there. Because that gets a lot of ventilation.
No, absolutely. And I'm very careful about anything that we change over, painting or anything, to air everything out. We're going to have our carpets cleaned. I specifically asked, you know, because I've got animals, too. Do you have animals?
I do. I have two dogs, at least.
Yeah.
I'm always caring for someone else's dog.
Yeah, we care for six cats, believe it or not. Don't even belong to us, but they eat at our house twice a day.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, well, you know, got to open up the doors to those who really are in need.
And she just opens herself up like, I can't believe. She did have some controversy, though, Ken. I believe it was in 2016. I'm not sure of the date. She had the controversy when she had, or they had, Sports Illustrated had a full-figured gal on the cover. And she said not to glamorize a full figure. And she, I guess, quoted Dr. Oz, who said not to have a waistline over 35. And she's sticking to it. And it's just kind of amazing because you know, that kind of, I mean, she got criticized quite a bit for it, but she held on to her what she truly believes. And she's done a lot. She was, I guess you could call her the first supermodel. She made it a business. It wasn't a business back then. It was totally different than what it is today. And of course, they made money, but not the kind of money they're making today. So it's kind of fun talking to someone who has changed herself so many times and still keeps up this whole thing on the environment and how important that is. And I think that's wonderful to know. It really is. But I guess best thing is just to kind of go back, Ken, and let's find out how Cheryl Teague seems to draw those people into her life with charisma and sincerity.
Oh, and indeed she is. Cheryl Teague's the one and only supermodel, one of my favorites. I mean, absolute favorites, because, and I think probably, Cheryl, the reason you are is because you do keep reinventing. You keep doing, you keep moving forward. You're always looking forward at new ideas. And I think that keeps you young.
Well, when I finished my formal education, my agent at the time, Nina Blanchard, turned to me and she said, now you've finished that. She said, don't, but the key to beauty is to always keep learning and always keep growing. And I think that's one of the things that I've tried to do all my life.
Oh, it's absolute. Now, tell me about the reality show in January.
Oh, this is so much fun. It's on ABC, and it starts January 5th on Monday night. Mm-hmm. So Ashton Kutcher and Tyra Banks were the producer, and it's we had 10 contestants, and I'm a judge. There were 3 judges, and They think that they're being judged only on outer beauty. And yet they didn't know it. We were spying on them. They lived in a house. We had 54 cameras, and we had something called the spy room. And we were watching their reactions and attitudes throughout the week on their inner beauty. Were they kind to the elderly? Did they give to charity? We gave them little tests and challenges each week. But we set them up, and they didn't know that we were watching them really for their inner beauty. Did they give water to someone thirsty when they were on the trail?
Love it.
Oh, it was fascinating. It was really fun. And they had no idea. They didn't know that we were judging them on how kind they were and how honest.
And you're really looking into human nature there, boy, I'll tell you.
Oh, it was one of the most interesting things I've ever done. It was difficult for me because, you know, I've tried very hard in the last 15, 12 years, whatever, to not be judgmental, to accept people for who they are and what they are.
Yeah.
And here I am, you know.
Judging them, right? I love it. If you could step out of Cheryl Teague's and look back at her now, and this is hard. Everybody that I ask this, and I've even done this myself, step out of yourself and look back at Cheryl Teague's and tell me who she is.
I can tell you who I hope that I have been, is someone who's been honest. And someone who has good character. Now, I try very hard to maintain those qualities, but it really comes from my parents. I'm from Minnesota, and they're really very so kind there in Minnesota, and I've tried to
emulate that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good for you. You know, that I think is, that shows what your beauty, that's that inner beauty of yours that comes out.
Oh, thank you so much.
No, I really do mean that, because you see a lot of beautiful women, and then you meet them. And I have a friend in Los Angeles, I don't know if you know Peter Lamas. He does a lot of makeup for the Victoria's Secret models, and he did the makeup palette for Titanic. And he said, you can see women walking into a room, and he said, beautiful women. And a woman who is still beautiful, but not as beautiful as the others, but she just lights up a room because her heart comes in first.
Absolutely. Well, that's kind of what this show is all about, is that it really is inner beauty. And the older we get, the more this inner beauty begins to show on your face, you know, all of the goodness and the kindness and honesty that you have throughout your life. That's what finally shows. And that's what people are attracted to. They don't really care about the wrinkles. They really don't.
No, you see past those wrinkles, like you said, for the person inside. But, and like, I always tease, I said, any wrinkles that I've got, I earned every one of those doggone things.
Oh, well, let's try and minimize them, though.
Okay. Now, how do we find out about your skincare line?
I guess you Google Cheryl Teague's, and it's under the, it's Ageless Woman.
Oh, okay. I've got to look into that. Absolutely. I got to be the ageless woman just like Cheryl Teagues. You are my, I just look up to you because I think you're just fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, it's so nice to have girl talk with you.
Likewise. Can we do it again?
Oh, we will. Of course we will.
Fantastic. You stay well, have a wonderful holiday, and we will look forward. What's the name of the show, by the way?
It's The Great American Beauty on Monday nights in January.
Dynamite. Thanks so much, Cheryl. You're the best.
Okay, you are too. And bye, everyone.
And stay well.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I love... Isn't she sweet? She is such a nice person.
Yes, yeah? She is. But, you know, I remember Cheryl Teagues replaced Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, yeah.
In Charlie's Angels. But those were the two women, me growing up, yeah, that were beautiful women, you know. Just
beautiful blondes, of course. But, you know, I love what she said, too. As you get older, your inner beauty comes out. Well, Ken, you know, I'm just about the same age as she is now. I think she's 78 now, and I'm right there with her. So is my inner beauty coming out, Ken?
Always.
Oh, good answer. I think they should have more reality shows like she did, you know, trying to bring the good in people out instead mm-hmm. of, you know, putting them on an island and say, die, you know, you either live or you die, you know, survivor. I don't know. It's okay to see those shows, but I kind of would like to see some that would just, you know, have more of a positive aspect to it. Don't you think?
Yeah. Well, you know,
you're a guy. What can I say? And by the way, her skincare line, Ageless Woman, it's still on. It's still there. I just looked it up to see if it was, because it's been quite a few years when I did this interview. I'd love to get her back again, see what she's doing these days. She did quite a bit of, you know, she's into like the environmental protection, of course, like I mentioned earlier, and the Earth Conservation Corps that she really was a part of it. But she also did quite a bit of television.
Yes, she did.
She was on Moonlighting, Just Shoot Me, which was a great show. I love that. That was so funny. She did a couple of movies, though. The Brown Bunny, which I never saw. I'm not familiar. And she did, I heard of this one, but I didn't see it. The Sharknado movie. There's so many movies made. I can't keep track. You know, I have to get somebody who's done those kinds of things.
I often wondered why they wouldn't cast her in big pictures, you know, big budget pictures.
I can't judge her acting talent because I don't know that much about that side of her. But there are parts where you don't have to be a fabulous actor, you know, a character actor or anything like that, because her beauty on the big, can you imagine the beauty of this woman on the big screen?
I can imagine that.
Knock their socks off. I don't know. You know, it's one of those things where maybe if I can get her back, I'll have to, you know, ask her about that. Because, you know, me, I'm nosy. I'm going to find out one way or another.
But, I mean, she did really well on Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, she did.
She was a good actress on that.
And all three of those ladies were, because each one had their own personality and their own look. None of them, you know, it wasn't like they all looked alike, and you know, all blondes and blue eyes, and that was about it. They had more personalities, you know, they looked darker hair, not so darker hair, you know, and I like that instead of everybody looking like a clone. I don't like cloning, but we're all guilty of that. I mean, young women, they try and emulate their stars. Like stars today, you know, the singers, the actors, and, you know, why do that? You should be a one of a kind, and you should be the unique one that everyone else wants to copy. But it's not, I don't know, maybe it's not so important today. Did you notice too, in all the interviews that we do, if we talk about some issues that are going on in that time, and I mean, I'm talking about interviews that I did back in, you know, 2008, even into the 90s, and into the 20s also, but it's kind of interesting because issues that we talked about then and things that people were concerned about back then we're still doing the same thing. You know, don't we learn our lessons?
We live, the more things change, the more things remain the same, I guess. That's a saying I hear all the time.
But
the other thing I've noticed about all our guests, they all have dogs.
And they all love animals. It's just great. And they got different kinds. Some have big ones, right. Some have little ones, but they're all dedicated. Some have a whole bunch of dogs because they raise dogs or all kinds of animals. And that says something to me that when a person loves animals, they're good people. They're good people. You're good people. You got dogs.
Or, it's how much those animals love them too. I mean, there's some people that a dog will see them and immediately be attracted to them and be happy, see it in their eyes. And then there's some that people just back off, you know. I've noticed, dogs do that all the time.
I said it in one of my interviews, and we've talked about this even, off the air. But if I have people over in my house, and my dogs, they're going to, first of all, they have to have, don't wear cotton, don't wear wool, and don't wear black, because I've got two long-haired white dogs, double-coated. And they'll come over, and my dogs, I said, if you don't like dogs, we'll go out to dinner or whatever, because my dogs have run of the house. It's just the way it is. Just like you. You love your animals. Mm. They're family. Not part of the family, they're family. Mm-hmm. But if I have people over, and my dogs, normally, they love people. And if they shy away in any way, seriously, I mean this, I don't trust them. And I usually don't invite them back again. Or I do meetings someplace else or whatever. Because they have that instinct. I mentioned that on one of our interviews, that they know whether they can trust a person or not. We don't, as human beings, we try and figure out people and go on, working with them or being friends with them. But animals don't do that. They right away will shy back, pull back. And like I said, I don't invite them back. And that should tell you something, Ken. You've always been invited to my house and you always come.
Now your dogs are very friendly.
Yeah. You wouldn't know it when I get up in the window because they're big dogs, They stand up. They look like two polar bears in the front window. But loving animals means a lot.
My dogs bark at people, but their tails are wagging. Yeah. They're not going to hurt you. If their tails are wagging, they just want your attention,
Exactly. Usually if you have two, they all want the attention at the same time, which I love. But that's just the way they are. That's why big hugs for all the dogs. Big hugs. Mm-hmm. Oh, Ken, I guess that's another one in the can. Another beautiful time with some of the most special people that I've met over the many years that I've interviewed celebrities. And of course, Ken and I, along with our engineer, Greg, are happy to share them with you. And you can be sure there will be many more to come as I search through my archives for Pop Star Talk. In the meantime, my wish to all of you is live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and above all else, dare to dream.
Produced by AutoVita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.